So the Gemara tells us in Yuma that Avram Avinu was Mekayim Koha Torah Kula Ad Shenitna, Ad Shelodnina. We have a tradition, and the Gemara says specifically about Avram, but it's extended to all our Avos and Imahos. We have a tradition, whatever it means exactly in the literal sense, that the Avos kept the Torah even before it was given. And the Gemara's example is Avram Avinu, he even kept Erev Tavshilin. He even kept the Mitzvah Drabanan of when you, in order to cook before, cook on Yantar for Shabbos. So the simple explanation of Erev Tavshilin is that even Mitzvah Drabanan, even rabbinical mitzvahs, when they had a chance, they tried to keep them. The Meshech Chachma has an interesting explanation that it's not Erev Tavshilin isn't coincidental, it's specific, because what do you do Erev Tavshilin for? The whole purpose of Erev Tavshilin, if you can have a lot of guests on Shabbos and you want to have food, so we let you do this legal fiction. So what was Avram Avinu all about?
Hospitality.
So the effort, the Gemara, Erev Tavshilin, specific to Avram Avinu, who was someone always involved. And in fact, the Meshech Chachma goes further and says, it says Yaakov was involved in Erev Tchumen, in keeping the boundaries, because he was someone who was more within, and it represents his characteristics. But either way, the Gemara tells us a principle, and different Chazals all over, that Avram Avinu and the Avos kept the Torah before it was given. So let's assume that as, let's take that literally for a minute. So there's a famous question asked based on, we've been discussing the mitzvah of Milah the past week or two. So there's a famous question they ask about Avram Avinu. That if this is true, that Avram Avinu kept the Torah before it was given, so how come he didn't do it by the mitzvah of Milah? We all know Avram did not fulfill the mitzvah of Milah until God commanded him to. Jeff, you have a kasha?
No, I'm
going to
answer.
Wait, let's get the question first before we have answers. So how could he have done the mitzvah of Milah? If why is Milah the exception to the rule that by Milah, it says, it's clear in the parish, he waited to fit a tzivoy, and over here, and that was in Parashat Lech Lech, and Vayera will discuss a different question. It says, Kashat Tziva Oso, but as it commanded Avram. But clearly Avram waited for the Tzivoy. So why is Milah an exception to the general rule of doing, of volunteering the mitzvah versus doing it al Tzivoy? Jeff is anxious to suggest something.
Yes. Well, can't have Milah except in the context of a bris, and there was no bris then.
Very good. So he's referring to an answer we gave in the name of Rav Nissen Alpert. Rav Nissen Alpert, the Talmud Muvak of Rav Moshe Feinstein, lived on the Lower East Side, was one of my rebbeim at Yeshiva University. That's what he did suggest, and others suggest as well, but I heard it from him first, that that's the pshuto. A bris, by definition, is a covenant. When you're making up, whether it's a peace treaty, as we know, if you don't have two to tango, it's useless. But any type of treaty, any type of agreement, you make a business agreement. If there's no one on the other side of the agreement, it's worthless. So same thing here. The bris was the ultimate bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avram. To make a bris on his own without God, you know, confirming the other half, it doesn't mean anything. So that's the simple pshat, that it's something that required two people. So obviously you couldn't do it. Volunteering certain things on their own don't mean anything. It has to be there has to be another party who's in agreement. That's a simple explanation. Comes along the Maral Diskin in the name of the Gra. Ryan was right. He said Avi was bringing. So the Gra, the Maral Diskin quotes in the name of the Vilna Gaon a famous answer. So the answer is as follows. The Gemara says in Kedushin, Tuva. Greater is the one, it's counterintuitive, but it's true, that one who is commanded and does a mitzvah gets more reward than one who volunteers to do a mitzvah. In other words, for instance, let's say the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, like hopefully we're doing now. So let's say there were men in the class and there were women in the class. So men are obligated in Talmud Torah. Men have an obligation to learn Torah all the time. Women have an obligation, but not the pure obligation they're exempt from, but to learn, they have, and they have a mitzvah. If they learn Torah, they get a mitzvah, but they have an obligation to know kosher, Shabbos. They have a practical obligation of learning. The men, in addition, have an obligation, even if you're not learning halacha l'maisa. So there's a general rule. There's more schar for someone who's obligated. Or any other example where someone's volunteering, and someone, so one would think, wow, the person, so on a certain level, volunteering might be a higher level. But in terms of the schar, so we assume gadol hamitzvah v'oseh. Even though, and Tosis points out, it is true on a certain level, in terms of the volunteering, that from a certain aspect, but so what does the Gemara mean, that it's greater? It means it's harder to do. When you're obligated to do something, we all know, if you have to get up in the morning and come to Minyan, it's much harder than if I, like the example I give it, say, if you go back to our camp days. So there was something called Cold War, where people were very involved in, like, it used to be, and then let's say someone had his day off. So imagine, someone wakes up at 10 o'clock in the middle of Cold War, and they go, what? I can't believe, what? Where's their activity? What team? Where should I be? It goes all crazy. Someone wakes up, it's a day off, they just go back to sleep. Or if I want to show up here, I'll show up here. So when you have a certain amount of pressure on you when you're obligated to do something. So therefore, that's the reason gadol hamitzvah oseh, it's easy to volunteer to things. Whenever you feel like doing it, you'll do it. But to have to do something all the time, even when you don't want to, that's a higher. That's what it means. Gadol hamitzvah v'yoseh. So if we're saying it's greater to be commanded in the mitzvah, then I'll reverse the question. I'll say, Avram shouldn't have kept anything on his own. He should have waited until God commanded. If you're telling me the reason why Avram waited is because it's greater to be commanded, so what about every other mitzvah that he should have waited? Yeah, the kasha. So the Vilna Gaon answers. He says that's true. In theory, if he would have waited, but it depends on the mitzvah. When it comes to the mitzvah of tefillin, let's say, or talis we're about to do, the fact I did it yesterday, does it have any impact on today, on tomorrow, if I did it last week, if I put it on for 10 years in a row, or I haven't put it on at all, today I have a new obligation. Yesterday's mitzvah has no impact on me preventing me from doing the mitzvah. So when it came to most of the mitzvahs, it doesn't make a difference. So if I kept Shabbos last week or not, it's irrelevant. I'm obligated to keep Shabbos this week. In other words, most mitzvahs are independent. It's irrelevant whether the fact I volunteered last week to do something, if I'm commanded to do it now, I get the same type of reward if not. So it came to Shabbos, whatever talis, tefillin, whatever he kept. So we see b'skus, because the Gemara says in Chulin, it was b'skus Avram, we got talis and tefillin, but we'll discuss it another time. So therefore, when it comes to other mitzvahs, you have all day to do that. However, when it comes to milah, you only can do that mitzvah once. At least only physically do that mitzvah properly once. In fact, if someone does the mitzvah milah in a non-kosher way, then you'd have to do it a hatafas dam bris. In other words, you'd have to go ahead and take dam out. But the bottom line is you only can do the mitzvah milah once in the ultimate sense. So that's why Avram waited. When it came to other mitzvahs, so that's the greatness of Avram and the Avos. They volunteered them. And then when God commands me, I'll keep them because I'm commanded. When it comes to Mila you only could do once. So therefore, that's why when it came to Mila, that was an exception. That's the answer of the Vilna Gaon. The third answer, the Chasam Sofer, others, that really it would have been usher for Avram to do a Mila until he was commanded. Why would it be usher? Because what are you doing to yourself? It's kind of like if someone's shaking the dalet minim and it's not sukkah, you assume the person has some issues. If a person's just injuring themselves for no reason, if someone's just either cutting off the finger or you assume there's a big problem here. Or, you know, so obviously there's an issue of mutilation. There's an issue of causing, not only you, is it chovel b'chaveiro, there's an issue to go ahead and hit someone else or cause damage to someone else, but also in Judaism there's an extreme, and there's an issue of suicide, but forget suicide, you're not allowed to even cause damage to yourself. You can't cut your finger, you can't do anything that's damaging, putting yourself in danger. So therefore, it would have been Asur. So Avram, so other mitzvahs which are neutral, there was no Isur of putting on tefillin and talis, they're not causing any harm. In fact, maybe it's good, you're taking your blood pressure. But as you're doing meal, which involves something which is dangerous, and, you know, sakana and causing damage, it would be us. It's the only heter for Avram to do Mila was because he had to wait for the tzibur. So that's a third approach. A fourth approach is from, in the name of the Briskarav, the Soloveitchik family. They want to suggest a more lumdisha answer, that in terms of as follows, that we know there's that when you do a Mila, so before you do a Mila, like you have an arla, you have a foreskin. And back in the day, that used to be the big curse word. If you wanted to rank on someone, you used to call them an arl. That was the big, that was the very derogatory word used against people. You didn't want to be called that back in the day. Now either we moved down or went back, depending how you want to look at it. But I haven't heard that word used so often. We've used different words. But whatever, there's halacha, there's physically, you have an arl. And then when you do a mila, you take off the foreskin. So that's because it's different parts to the mila. As we said, there's the maisa mila, as we pointed out yesterday, that Abram was recovering from the mitzvah bris mila. So when you do a mitzvah, you create, so to speak, an angel. So the mila was cutting off the aro, cutting off the evil. That's the malach that went to destroy Sodom and Amorah. Priya, which you reveal the foreskin, that was the angel coming to reveal to Avraham that Sarah was having a baby. He was having a baby. And the third part, Mitzitza, that which we do for health purposes, sucking the blood out, that was the Malach that came to heal Avraham. So we see there are three parts to the Mila. So it's just things practically. Obviously, but physically you have an Arul. So comes along the Briskarav and says, no, what's first, the chicken or the egg? In other words, he says, it's not the way it works. He says, it's the mitzvah of Mila that creates the status of an arol. In other words, before the mitzvah, in other words, physically, you might have had a foreskin, but a foreskin wasn't bad then. So what, you had a foreskin? There's nothing wrong with having a foreskin. It's only once the mitzvah of Mila was given, that created the status of someone has the status of being an arol. And therefore, then you have to do, so in fact, that's what the Mesha Chachma brings a raya from the Psukim, that he says that that when God, so basically it says, when God commanded him to do the mitzvah mila, so it says, before he did the mitzvah mila, he went vayipal alpanav, he went down on the ground, and Rashi writes, because he didn't feel worthy yet, he was an aro, he wasn't a shalim yet. So the question is, God spoke to Avram countless times before that. It doesn't say that he was on the ground. So the Sif Sei Chamim writes he was on the ground there. The Torah doesn't tell us. The Meshach Chachma says, no. That's exactly like the Yisod of the Bris Karav. Until he was commanded in Bris Mila, it wasn't lacking in anything. It's once God said, you have a mitzvah Mila, okay, so now I'm out of Sholem, so now I'm incomplete. So that's what the Bris Karav points out. It was only the mitzvah Mila. It's not you start off an Oro on the Mila. Until you're obligated in the mitzvah of Mila, you're not an Arul. So there's nothing for Avram to do. I could have cut off my foreskin and went to help anyone because it wouldn't be meaningful. And in fact, that's how they explain it's not, the Bris Karav is based on the Yisod and the Rishonim. There's a whole discussion, Rashi Rabbeinu Tam in the Gemara Yavamas, which also talks about Arul, about Mila. So there's a case the Gemara talks about, Mesu Achiv Machmas Mila. That we know, generally, every male child has an obligation, or the father has an obligation on the child to make sure they do the mila. At 13, the obligation comes on the son, but until 13, it's on the father. So, however, the child has to be healthy. If you're a family of hemophiliacs or some other danger, where if by doing a bris mila, you're putting yourself in danger, so it's usher to do a bris mila. In fact, that's an interesting discussion in the poskim about, let's say, a ger, a would-be ger, someone who wants to convert to Judaism, but they're in a situation where they can't do a bris mila. In other words, a Jew doesn't do a bris mila, still a Jew. That's not no discussion. You might be an Aro, you might not be, we'll discuss, if you're not doing a bris because you can't. But you're definitely a Jew. The child is one of the things for a ger to become a Jew. So let's say someone can't, so physically you can't do it. So in fact, we had a case here in Hamilton. Hi, remember the Italian man? What was his name?
Carmen.
Yeah. So whatever. There are other issues that I'm not going into. But let's assume everything was there, and the only issue was. So he said, "I don't care. I want to become a Jew. I want to do it. I'm willing to risk my life." So that's the question. Are we allowed to? The fact that he so obviously, if he doesn't want to risk, we're not allowed to do it. But the question is, he's willing to take his chances. But that was so Rav Chaim Moser Gruzinski discussed the issue, and he said one. In fact, it was funny. There's a story where he was. Someone came. He was going around to collect money, and someone had like a two da on his wall. So Rav Chaim Moser looked at it. First, he took the money, of course, and said, "By the way, you're not Jewish." But I guess on the two da rope, he didn't have a bris or something. I forgot the exact story, but the point being was that. Here by Avram Avinu, we'll have to continue that since Avram couldn't do by Milah, if you're not commanded a Milah, you don't have the status of an Aro. So we'll get into that. We'll see it's the mitzvah Milah that creates the status of Aro. And therefore, to the four reasons we have, why did Avram wait? Number one, because a bris needs two people by definition, or practically speaking, it's usher, because you can't damage, you can't do chavol on yourself. So before the mitzvah Milah, that's why, they talk about suing your parents. So that was probably a good time in Frisco before the mitzvah milah was given. The third one is, the milah you only could do once, so therefore, by the other mitzvahs, you could do many times, you do it. And the fourth one is the bris kerov. You have to wait for the tzivoy, because without the tzivoy, there's no status of an RO, and therefore, that's why Avram waited.
Very good, Jeff.
Very good.